Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another night of Astromind 2012. I'm your host with Roy. Roy, are you there?
Yes, Adrian, I'm here. And again, we want to welcome back all our longtime callers and listeners. We're looking forward to another great night of Astromind 2012. I just wanted to share something. Tomorrow night, we have a special guest that's going to come on our show, and we'd like to invite all our callers and listeners tomorrow night. Her name is Elena Radford, and she's a shaman from Peru. And she's got a lot of healing abilities. We'd love, you know, our callers to call in, and she could help, you know, whatever, you know, you might be experiencing. And Adrian, now, what else do you want to share?
Well, I guess we could talk a little bit about what the Celtic Cross does, and a little bit about Geotran, if you'd like.
Now, is it the Celtic Cross or the Inca Cross you're talking about?
Or the Inca Cross. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I know that with the Celtic and the Inca, I know they're a little bit different. I know they have a little bit of similarities. Just the fact that they're both crosses, but the Celtic's more Catholic, and the Inca comes more of the Incas. But they both have a lot of similarities because they're both crosses, but it's interesting how they come from different traditions. And the Inca has, well, we know that it has different, kind of like, you know, with the picture that you made, and it has like the different words on it and the different dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
With universal numbers, and and then it has like, you know, where it says connection, passion, protection, love, trust, acknowledgement. You know, an acknowledgement is like is very important, because if you look at ourselves, we're almost like the cross, and that's the reason why we have a lot of similarities with the Incas and the Celtic Cross, which is kind of interesting. That's why I say they have a lot of similarities, but they come from different traditions, different cultures, things like that.
Right. You know, I noticed, you know, we have a lot of callers lining up. Why don't we hurry and get started?
Okay, let's go ahead and start with the first caller from the 661 area.
Hello.
Hi, and what is your name, and where are you from?
My name is James, and I'm from North Carolina.
How you doing, James?
Okay, good. Good. My question is, yesterday my friend started channeling the aliens, and he told me if I go outside, they would come and pick me up, but nothing ever happened. But today, I went after I ate dinner, I looked on my lip, and I had a triangular-shaped rash. And I was just wondering if either you or Adrian could help me figure out what may have happened, if that was the aliens or not.
Well, first of all, Adrian has a little story he wants to share with you.
Okay.
Well, James, it's interesting that you'd bring that up, because I know that when I was channeling Nathan for you last night, and I told you to go outside and look out for the ship. It's weird because I lost the internet connection with you on that, and there was a lot of distraction for some reason. But I do feel that that was the one of the marks of the alien race is when I was telling you about that, you know, about that incident. Another incident, we were just talking to Monica, and she was saying that she battled one of the leaders of an alien tribe. I don't know, but she killed an alien. And then about a week ago, Chris told me the same story, my friend Chris, that he killed an alien. So just all these stories are kind of adding up, and I think it has a lot of similarities with what you went through.
Okay.
Adrian, I need you to share with the listeners and callers when you say kill, want to make sure that they know what you're talking about.
Well, what I mean by that is in the astral, they killed an alien, one of the leaders, and the same story that Monica was telling us is the same story that Chris was talking about. But this was a week before. This was long before even Monica brought it up.
And this was all during astral travel.
And this was during the dream state.
Yeah, during the dream state. And what are you getting for James?
Well, this is something that this was a discussion that me and James had last night when he wanted me to channel Nathan, and I channeled and I told him to go outside to cast a ship, which Nathan channel through me, and but for some reason, like, I lost internet connection, and James went outside and he said that his neighbor came out and he said he didn't see no ship, and I told him to wait there and be patient because the ship was out there, and I kept, and this is interesting because at the same time I was talking to the guy that does the pendulums, and
mm-hmm.
I told him about it, and he said that the ship was already gone by the time James went outside.
Okay.
So,
well,
I was definitely seeing something out there.
All right. Well, I guess.
And so did the other psychic he thought too.
And then you said they had a lot of devices in my home, so they couldn't just come here. They had to. I had to go outside, I guess. Maybe I need to go further away.
That's what Nathan told me.
Okay. Well, last night it was raining, so I didn't want to go too far.
You know, James, I'm picking up also, I'm using what we call the shadow cards. Have you ever heard of them?
No. What is that?
What it is it starts going into the unconscious and starts revealing things, what you might be experiencing.
All right.
And what it's showing that you're uncovering some hidden gifts. It's almost
like
you're going into it's almost like a buried treasure. You know, you're being exposed. That's why, you know, these ETs are starting to, you know, make these markings and, you know, to let you know that, you know, that they are there, you know.
Well, I was told that some of these marks are basically to stop me from coming into my gifts.
Yeah.
My gifts,
and that could
have
been to prevent you, yeah.
Because most of my gifts are with my clone body that they use.
Yeah.
So, all right.
The main thing is, do you know what your gifts are?
Well, according to Kusal, he said that I'm so telekinetic I can lift an elephant, at least in the altar mode. So I guess that gives you an idea. But as in this region, it's not very much.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's some.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's why you did get those markings. It's just a lot of it's confirmation.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I know that, James, I didn't know if I want to bring this up or nothing, but I know that Kuso he was a record keeper. He was able to access the Nikestic record.
Yeah, he's the one who told me I was so telekinetic I could lift an elephant when he read my records.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And apparently I was told that Kusaw was a reptilian, and I guess he was infiltrated. Of course, they changed him out with a clone, but now he's back with, I don't know, the Orion group or whoever, the group of ETs. And apparently he's being retrained now to recognize good and bad reptilians, or the ones that are the tricksters, I guess you could say.
James, do you want to let all our callers and listeners know, you know, more about you and where they could go to get more information?
Yeah, I know. There's too much to explain in a few minutes, but my website is supersoldiertalk.com. And I talk about super soldiers, my labs, human cloning, and basically these projects that go on with the it's actually Air Force Space Command and Nazi my lab programming. But that's a total thing on itself. But yeah.
But again, we want, you know, all our callers and listeners, you know, James, you know, he has videos, you know, on his website, and you know, he has those available, you know, for a lot of the public, you know, to listen to. And James has quite a background, and he could even explain to everyone about, you know, this new technology called the NeoCube.
Yeah, well, I've been using the NeoCube to help integrate myself. It's a tool. It's used while meditating, and it brings chi energy in your body. And with more chi energy, you can use that to project into your reality what you want to manifest. And for me, it's healing, integration, and it does a lot more than just that. It draws in a lot of positive things into your life. Of course, meditation can do that anyway, but if you want to learn more about the Neo Meditation Cube, visit my other website at neologicaltech.com, and that's neologicaltech.com. And I was wondering, before you take another caller, is there someone with an 863 area code in your queue?
Can you see that?
I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a 638.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I asked my friend to call.
No, wait a minute. 863?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Can you please
you
put them on?
You want us to
air?
Invite them on?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, we'll go ahead and bring them on. 863, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Felton Mays. A few weeks ago, I just realized that I'm also a super soldier. I've been doing...
Wow.
Did a regression with James. Since then, I've been having quite a few flashbacks and integrating as well. And also told that I can help James find Nate. I just have to figure out how to use my avatar.
I guess we should explain. I'm sorry.
Are you the guy that wrote the article with James?
It's about bloodshed.
Yeah.
Because
I was reading about your article. I thought it was very interesting.
Yes. A lot of my flashbacks, they're coming in and out. So I'm trying to put the pieces together. And this morning I had an episode of shapeshifting. It was pretty weird.
And you said you actually shapeshifted this afternoon.
Yeah.
Adrian, what are you picking up on that? Did he really do that, or was that just like his astral body?
Oh, I felt he really did it.
Do you have any ideas why he would shapeshift? Because he felt, you said you just woke up or something?
I was asleep. Then I had a pain in my chest, so I rolled out of the bed. I started feeling like I was hulking out. And as I was coming out of my room, trying to go outside to grab air, that's when I noticed my feet and hands started growing. And I saw a shadow. I saw the circular head. It was the picture that I showed you, James. I turned into one of them, and then everything went bright. After that, I woke up. I couldn't remember after that part.
Adrian, what do you think's going on with him?
Well, I feel like he's mutating. He's changing.
Felton, have you ever done that before?
That was the first time. Actually, it was that mission I told you. I felt the shape shifting in my face, and I turned back to human form. Right when I went on that mission to rescue Sabretooth and Rogue.
Okay, and my code name is Sabretooth, so all right. Well, maybe you're just stepping into your gifts. I don't know, Adrian, do you have any idea what he could do to help integrate more?
I'm getting it. He needs hypnosis.
Yeah, I'm also trying to figure out why I'm always sitting on solo missions as well. Most of my flashbacks been me by myself carrying out missions. I never carry a weapon. I destroy everything with my hands. And the last flashback
now, you,
I had...
I have a question. This is Adrian's father. Do you have a connection with the fire element?
I think so. One of James' friends, Adam, say I always dealt with explosives, and I replaced one of their guys in their squad.
So he's used for like setting detonators and so forth.
Yeah.
He can make things explode.
Mm-hmm. My avatar have a device on his left wrist. He could call in airstrike.
Wow.
So you have a connection to do with the avatars then.
Mm-hmm. And I keep hearing a lot of voices like telling me to say stuff and do stuff. I don't know if I'm hallucinating or my actual avatar.
My car. Automatic. I'm about going downtown, standing in line to cash it. Media places stuff. Visa prepaid. More people go with Visa.
Where's that sound coming from?
I don't know.
Nathan?
Okay. Are you there?
Was that sound coming from your end?
No, it wasn't coming fine.
Okay, something caused it. One thing about our show, and I just want to share with all you callers and listeners out there, you know, we're pretty much open-minded to, you know, everything, so we just never know what might pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Roy, I wanted to mention that we do have our mentor on tonight, our hypnosis mentor, and I don't know if you wanted to bring him on to meet James.
Would you like to meet him, James?
Yeah, go for it. I'd love to meet him.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring Maxwell on from the 801. Maxwell, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hi, Rod. We just want to introduce you to a friend of ours. James, do you want to tell Maxwell a little bit about your Neo Cube and some of your experiences?
What state is he calling from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Okay. I got a friend in North Carolina.
Wonderful. I live in the Charlotte area.
I think they're in Raleigh. They do essential oils. They create oils. and some of that stuff I've been drinking, and that's like amazing enlightenment.
Mm. You ought to look into something called RNADrops.info. Apparently people are doing de-aging with these drops. It's not an essential oil, but it's kind of like an elixir kind of thing.
Yeah, it's called wisdomworks.com and or mywisdomworks.com, and I drank some of that stuff in over 30 days. Boy, there wasn't anything I didn't know. It was amazing. So, all right. What was it? Not DNA drops. What was the letters?
RNA.
RNA. All right. DNA and RNA. Ribonucleic acid instead of deoxyribonucleic acid. Okay, go on. I'm listening.
Yeah, apparently it's some kind of, it alters the chromosomes to open up your DNA, and people are having some pretty amazing results. So I just wanted to mention that. I didn't really want to go into, I'm not really an expert on it. But, there are a lot of different healing modalities. Of course, the NeoCube, meditation is good, essential oils, homeopathic remedies, of course, hypnosis as well. So talk a little bit about that. How long have you been doing hypnosis and work?
I've been a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, the world's largest and oldest organization of hypnotists, a little over 20 years. I've done a number of fire walks where we go into a hypnotic state and walk through fire, 1,250 to 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you don't think hypnosis is real, attend a fire walk with me and I'll show you how real it is. It's amazing that we have the infinite power within us to become one with fire or one with other elements of the earth here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know who Tom Bearden is, but he had an interview where he actually talked a little bit about how your right and left hemisphere can produce scalar waves, and when these two scalar waves come together, it creates a null zone, and you can actually project that at like the bottom of your feet and walk on hot coals or hold them, or do other freaky things like punch through concrete walls.
Yeah, or walk through walls. The Native American Indians could do that. They would walk through, you know, the teepees or different things. That's kind of like the power of now, living in the now, being in the moment, not in logic or in emotion, but in the infinite. That's why it's important to be in the moment or in the now and not live in the future or the past, but just in what's presented in front of us. That's where we create and manifest things out of nothingness.
Okay. What are some of the more interesting things that you've worked on throughout your career? Like what kind of success stories?
Okay. Probably one of the latest ones is I worked on a woman that had a familiar spirit. It was from the 1800s from Scotland. Gave me your address and everything. It's a long story, but I'll make it real quick and short. Her father was involved in, there was a couple of types of government over there. There was the righteous government and then the underground government. The underground government was trying to teach the poor people how to survive. And what's interesting, they took her child and sold her child to a merchant who was in England, and she went down into England after she became in her 20s and worked for a rich family. Turns out that it was a little boy that she had taken away from her when the boy was two. I've got all their names. She told me everything, and now I've looked it up in the books. Her father wrote a book about law, and it's published, and so I'm finding that this is one of probably 10 or 20 cases that I'm going back with the information and finding that actually people did exist and we know their whole life story, you know, and have forensic evidence to prove that what we're picking up or I'm picking up from these familiar spirits is verifiable.
And that's curious you mentioned verifiable, because I've done some regressions on people myself. And sometimes they come up with these answers, and I'm really, I sometimes question, are they making this stuff up? How can we really trust this information?
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's real or imagined. It's real to the person experiencing it, and yet I get enough detailed information that I can go ahead and do some research on it. I did have a case where this one girl was the daughter of a LAPD officer, and she was being molested. They went to Disneyland, and she ran away from her dad, got in a truck with a truck driver and left, and he took her up Highway 101 and slit her wrist, and she bled to death. He took her up, like, by highway marker number 10 and left her there to die. Well, her spirit body walks down to the beach, Coffee Pot Beach. She meets a young girl down there that's on her vacation and goes home with her, and I know the whole life story of that little girl, and I contacted the LAPD, and they never knew where the girl was, and I identified the girl that was, I hooked them up with Klamath County, Klamath, California, Klamath, Oregon, just right next to the border, Klamath, California, an unidentified body that they had that they thought was between the age of like 9 and 14, and it happened to be the same girl. It wasn't because of their forensics, it was because I talked to the girl that was murdered, and that's all she wanted me to tell them, is that to solve the missing person and unidentified body. And she didn't want me to say anything about child molestation by her police officer, the father. So I've got all the details of these cases, and that's what my next book is going to be about, is how some of these people that die and they don't go into the light and they're earthbound stuck, and how they attach to other humans here and then live through them. I've got so many stories to tell, and that's why I'm putting together another book, just so that people can see that a lot of what we do as hypnotists or hypnotherapists is we're not dealing with the seen, we're dealing with more of the unseen, and that's what controls a lot of people's behaviors, you know. So I find it fascinating, and it's always, I never know what's going to come up. Adrian and Roy, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Do you remember that exorcism we did?
The big one.
What an amazing,
oh, yeah.
What was funny on this exorcism, and I've done a lot, the woman was like 35, she's probably 90 pounds, and they had sent a psychiatrist and bishops and everywhere, and they couldn't solve her problem. She was possessed. And she came over to my place. I had a group of hypnosis students there, and just for my own protection. And so I open the door, and her and her husband are there, and she looks at me, and she goes to step in, and she stops, and I grab her hand to shake her hand to pull her in. And that entity growled like a saber-toothed tiger, sounded like this. And her eyes just went pure black, and I pulled her in, and we had a little going-away party for that girl, and there was about three entities in her, demonic entities, that I remember the names. Do you remember the names, Roy or Adrian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty tough entities, but the poor girl, after that happened, she wanted to take me to church and tell everybody that what a great relief she's had and stuff. But her little boy was so scared all the time. He always carried around a Bible or Book of Mormon in his possession, and if you saw her house, you'd know she was possessed, because she had all the windows covered with cloth, and it was just dark in there. It's just dark, stagnant energy. But that's what I run into on the extreme side, you know.
Wow. But what's interesting about all of this, Rodney, is this all started when Adrian had hypnotized his class in high school.
And, hypnotized in high school?
His class.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
When he was in high school, and one of the girls had asked Adrian if we could go to their house and work on the mother.
Oh, was that right? Is that where that all started from?
Yeah.
That's where it started.
Oh, wait, I will add this. I will add this. The girl, the woman, the mother was like 95 pounds, if that,
yeah.
Okay? I was sitting kind of holding down one shoulder, two people on her other shoulder, one across her stomach, laying over her stomach, and two on each leg, and she picked us up off the ground a number of times. You remember that? I couldn't believe the supernatural strength she had, and I'll tell you, we were in the no zone or the living it there for a little bit, you know, and then I'd say sleep, and then she would be back asleep, and then that was a tough one, but I've since refined my exorcisms so quick and easy that I can probably do one in 15 to 30 seconds by now.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Maxwell, after we performed that, her daughter that I went to high school with, she started having some problems, too. I guess the entity jumped in her.
The daughter?
And she told me in high school that it was inside of her.
Well, remember when she was starting to release it out of her mouth, and then the one laying across her stomach saw her and she went, and she sucked the one entity right in, and we had to do an exorcism on the one girl that was.
Oh yeah,
remember that? That was, she ran out of the building, ran upstairs, and curled up in the corner of somebody's apartment. Yeah, it can be pretty extreme and bizarre, but we've learned after a few extreme experiences and stuff. So back to the daughter.
But what's real interesting, you know, and I just wanted to share with James, along with hypnosis, that, yes, you know, when we open up the subconscious mind, you know, different, you know, energies or spirits or whatever that might come out, but there is walking spirits that are in human form. And we've seen many, many of them after we were, you know, trained in hypnosis.
I've also been told by, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've been told by a medium.
About the ring lady that I saw.
Yeah.
Did you tell him about that, Roy?
No. This was during the fall, and it was raining outside, and I had just taken Abe into his apartment, and he was walking by himself, and by the stairwell, he saw a lady standing there with long, dark hair, and she was crying. And this is interesting because there's a movie that came out called The Crying Lady that Hollywood had put out.
Well, and just to have your listeners hear the ending, the intent is to go ahead and release them into the light so that they're no longer stuck, you know, so they're no longer familiar spirits, earthbound stuck spirits. But shifting back to the crying lady, how long ago did that movie come out?
Oh, this was probably back in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And what's interesting, this spirit, the crying lady, comes from Mexico, and they called her the Llorona.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a story, it was like an urban tale about a lady who had killed her baby and drowned in it, and she was looking for the baby.
In the river.
Oh, I see.
She would walk along the riverside at nighttime.
See. That's sad. It's got to be sad story. I had one case. I don't know if you remember this one, Roy, or Adrian, but it was about this girl. Her dad, I mean, I got many of them, but one of them goes back to a judge from Chicago that went to San Francisco on the train back in the early 1900s and married a woman back there. And the woman of the three boys, one of the boys got pneumonia and died, and the other boy, the fiancé pushed through a glass window and cut him, and he bled to death. And I don't know if you remember that little boy that talked to me. He, when he was little, his mom died, and then when his mom died, he quit talking. So the father thought he was deaf-mute. and he really wasn't. And I got him to talk to me. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that one, Roy. Remember that one?
I can't remember that one.
If we look into it.
I do remember you were doing a hypnotist show one night, and you started talking to a familiar spirit, and there was a guy that, I guess he was out in Vietnam or somewhere, where he had been shot.
There were three of those. Remember the one that was, I did one down there. I don't know if you remember the show you may have assisted with on that one, where the guy happened to be a familiar spirit attached to one of the guys on the stage, and he was one of Hitler's... Remember that one guy, and he was speaking...
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Well, that was,
yeah.
I knew he was a familiar spirit, but it sure made the audience think that I had a great show because he was speaking in German, and I had an interpreter speaking in German, and he was one of Hitler's graduates from the military school and doing the I Hitler salute.
Would you want to hear something even more interesting?
We did
along with the paranormal group out in the Twilla area, and I hypnotized the guy that was the leader of the paranormal group. And
I started
speaking to another German officer.
Oh, you did?
I did a show
out there for Twilla employees, the sheriffs and all the employees of Twilla County or Twilla City. I also did a show for Grantsville, which is out by Twilla.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that was there's a girl in a wheelchair. She wanted to be hypnotized. I put her in a trance. And when she was into a trance, she started moving her legs and to stand up. And it scared her, so she sat down. She was just shaking. She'd never been able to walk in her life. And I knew she had a familiar spirit that was paralyzed or paraplegic, Her legs were not working. I told her I'd give her three free sessions if she wanted to come in the office, because I knew if she came in the office, I'd release that and she'd be able to walk. But she never took me up on it.
Wow.
So it's amazing. When you go to the fourth level and you get into the metaphysical, that's where most of the excitement is and the fun and the mystery. And that remember on stage that some of the people that would wear glasses, I would have them read without the glasses, and they couldn't. I'd take them back in time to when they had perfect vision and they could read. And then I'd have them bring their perfect vision back into present time and walk off the stage with 20/20 vision.
Interesting, I hypnotized while I was up on stage, and I had some cards with letters on them, and I hid it behind their back, and I told them that they had X-ray vision.
Uh-huh.
And they were able to, this guy was able to look through the body.
Now that's amazing, and here's what
and
else
see
was
those
amazing.
Letters.
Yeah, I think you're tapping into the superconscious there. I had a guy in the audience, when I pretend to have a psychic there on the stage, it was just a subject, and I said they're going to tap into their superconscious mind. He stood up with a question, and he asked this girl, pretended psychic, what tattoo he had on his shoulder. And you know what she said? She said, "You have the face of a man, but the hair of a lion, and it's, the mane of a lion." And he came up on stage and showed us, and she identified it to a T. And that was not staged or anything. We don't stage anything in our shows, but it was, it's amazing. This world of hypnotism still amazes me.
Yeah.
Shock and disbelief that most things are possible.
Yeah.
Wow.
James, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
What do you think about all this?
Yeah, well, one of the things I do in my Neo meditations, at least with de-aging, is I tell people to go back in time, or it's not just de-aging, even like any health problems, just like, was it Maxwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was saying. And, I guess, and apparently it works.
That's a great idea. That's a brilliant idea. I'm going to have to do that. I did a show once where I took them up forward in time till they were all 75 and 80 years old, and they were hobbling around the stage, and so I took them back in time and told them to get on a nutritional supplement, and they stayed healthy throughout their lives and then I took them back to 80 years old, and they were all fit and happy-go-lucky and that. So I'm gonna. Thanks for sharing it. I'm gonna go ahead, James, and put some of my clients or subjects into a back in time, perfect health time, and have them bring that into present time.
André Priory and the French Bordeaux machine. This French scientist, he actually invented a machine that could cure cancer. And this is back in the 1970s, and the machine was 3 feet stories high. And what he was actually doing is he was opening up wormholes into the past, and he would have people connect their DNA somehow into the past before it was damaged or diseased or old. And he would actually bring that DNA, overlap it. I guess it would have to be done astrally. And then through once it's in our astral body, it'll slowly merge into a third-dimensional physical cell.
That's cool.
I just want to share one more thing with you. When you were talking about that chair, me and Adrian met a guy from out in the Draper area, and he had he called it the chair. And what it did was it would turn in circle, and you did these little electrical impulses on your head, and then you had lights shining with different sounds. And it would actually take you into different dimensions. What it did
was
balance the left and right brain fear, and it would help people with different addictions.
That's cool. I knew a guy with a chair you'd lay back in, and it would rotate you around in circles, but tipping you right and left. Is that the same chair?
This one looked like a little mini helicopter without the propellers.
I see.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Campbell, he would put people in his office. He still does. Some do massage and others, but they go into a room where he's got these lights that he puts over each chakra. He's got the red light for the red chakra and the orange light for the belly button and the yellow for the solar plex. And I'm telling you, laying under those lights for like a few minutes is like 10 hours of energy charge. I was amazed.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant idea. And then green, blue, indigo, and violet. But he would have you lay down. He'd bring the lights down and put them right over top of that part of your body and then give you a 10-minute session. And I'm telling you, it was more than psychosomatic. You know, it was...
What was interesting, Adrian was in that chair for about a half an hour, you know, as it was turning. And he started going into different dimensions. And in these dimensions, he saw some doors.
Really? Adrian, you had some visions and stuff?
Yeah, I did. Very deep ones.
You know, kind of like the Matrix and the key master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're...
The listeners
exactly.
They may think we're a little out there, but you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing what goes on with within our spiritual body and the so. Yeah, that's a great idea back to James about putting people in a trance and backing them up in time so that the body
counts
are only like 19 or 21, you know, that's great. You know, I like to do work on people on stage because once they're in a trance for like an hour and a half, they're so far gone, I could tell them they were...
One other instance, me and Adrian were invited to a gym where they would, you know, practice boxing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was a birthday party, and they wanted us to, you know, do some hypnosis. So I hypnotized this young kid, and first of all, I asked him, Have you ever done any kind of tumbling or gymnastics or anything, and you know, and flip in the air? And he goes, "No, I've never done that." So he let me hypnotize him, and I kept telling him, "Now I want you to keep visualizing and seeing yourself flipping in the air and landing on your feet."
I remember
and he did.
That. Yeah,
he had never done that in his life.
He was
shocked.
You know, that reminds me of this other hypnotist that I know that was not very ethical. And right in the middle of a cartwheel, he says, "Wide awake!" And the guy just face planted right into the stage. I thought that was pretty cruel.
Oh, my God.
the kid wakes up right in the middle of the cartwheel. And
Getting Jerome, I think Jerome did that, and they went right through the screen.